morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me in a bright blue shirt.
That's right. We're doing drama this morning. Mike Cosentino is over here on Democratic Perspective again on a fine Monday morning. We're going to have Tony Dennis, Yavapai County Democratic Chairperson, in a little while. And we're just going to have kind of a nice casual conversation about local politics and about all the things that you would imagine that the Yavapai County Democratic Chair would know about local politics. So we're going to talk about that in a little while. But one of the things we do want to get to, there's so much. Obviously, if you're doing a political show these days, you know, we don't do many step backs. We always try to keep the information coming and keep it relevant and keep it fresh. Once in a while, we do an art show or something, or if some local thing is starting to heat up, you know, we'll do a show on that. But we pretty much focus on politics. We don't do many step backs, but we are going to step back a little bit today and look at local politics. I want to give a shout out to we did a political booth at the Verde Valley Fair. And you can imagine, the Verde Valley Fair is a little bit conservative. Certainly the leadership is. However, they're also good Americans, and they, for the right amount of money, you can get a booth at the Verde Valley Fair.
Sounds like quite a bit of money.
Right? Well, it was quite a bit of money. And we did get an anonymous donor.
So we're going to be talking about state and local politics and Yavapai politics
today.
I mean, you know, as we've said before, we could talk about Trump, you know, every single day. And now we've got Rudy Giuliani running around making one crazy headline after another.
Is this the Stooges or what? I mean,
And
the defense lawyer, the Stormy Daniels. Of course, we're talking about the president being accused by.
He's no better.
He's no better. Exactly.
He's an ambulance chaser, except they're TV, publicity chasers. but Giuliani is just like over the top. They're trying to protect Trump from perjury and all that. And I understand exactly the logic of what Giuliani is doing, but it's craziness. So we could talk about that every single, we could have a daily show and talk about that.
Well, you know, I want to stick on that for a minute since you started it. The normalizing Trump. Here it is, 2 years into this, wacko presidency. And I still believe what Dan Rather says is true. Anyone who normalizes the presidency of Donald Trump is going to have a price to pay to history, to our children.
History will track you down.
Well, I'm this, you know, and I'll go.
You know how scary history
can forget,
be.
I'm the guy that sent Stephen Colbert a note that said, Donald Trump is no joke. There's nothing funny about Donald. Now, Stephen Colbert has based his entire career on making fun of Donald Trump now. But, so obviously he didn't take my advice, but I believe the normalization of Donald Trump, and that's what the media does best. The New York Times this weekend, Maureen Dowd, Nicholas Kristof, great writers, look them up, May 6th edition of the New York Times. Maureen Dowd talked about our addiction to Trump.
Yes. He spent his life perfecting grabbing headlines.
Yep.
And so has Rudy Giuliani. I mean, he was a, well, anyway, we could go on and on about that. But one thing to say, Mike, is just to shift it a little bit, is that this is a year where we have lots and lots of Democrats running.
We have lots of
Democrats in the primary. And in Arizona, that's a change. So you've got three Democratic candidates preparing to run against Gosar over in your district.
We do. We have David Brill, wonderful candidate we've had on the show, running against Paul Gosar in CD4. We got Ana Maria Perez, another great candidate, running against Paul Gosar in CD4. And we got Delina DeSanto, who I met. I want to talk about my Cottonwood group, too. who came to our Cottonwood Democratic group last week.
I haven't met her, for example.
Yeah,
we haven't had her on the air.
Another great candidate. Yeah. This is the year of the strong women. Somebody rang a bell, and you have all these incredibly competent, incredibly confident, smart women coming out of, I want to say coming out of the woodwork, but certainly putting themselves out there and running for office. As we often have had, by the way, in Arizona, great Democratic candidates who are willing to serve and are smart and I want to say good politicians. They're good people
somebody
who know how
to
do politics.
Somebody said to me, Mike, you have to hold your nose to vote for the candidates. But at least for Democrats in Arizona, I don't think that's true. I mean, I've watched so many good candidates run for office. So many them lose. We don't, Democrats do not hold a statewide office now. And normally there's not much in the way of primaries, which keeps the Democratic vote down until you come to the general election.
I think they've
this year
that.
There's a lot of excitement. Yeah. There are real contests for issues like running against Gosar, for Secretary of State, for literally every office.
But that's in kind of part and parcel of what you're talking about. Because there's so many candidates for this one office on the Democratic side, that means it's going to be an interesting primary. Any primary is good to have. I think the Democrats finally learned, because very often that, you know, they feel like having one candidate to put all of your strength behind is better, but I'm not sure that's true. You don't get the coverage.
I've never been certain, Mike, about that whether a primary is good or not. The problem is Democrats have so little money that's why they don't want to have primaries.
That's true.
On the other hand, you can't get people excited, and so we have the Democratic turnout for primaries is so much lower than the Republicans. Republicans have a whole list. A lot of times, Democrats don't have any down ticket people in the Verde Valley. That's another problem. People are voters don't look down the ballot. They vote for the top part of the ballot, and then they don't look down at all the other complicated dog catcher type things. Like this year, we have a great candidate for mine inspector, for example.
We do have a great candidate,
so,
right?
You know,
Pierce.
Yes. And so we want folks to look all the way down on the ballot and we got a great mine inspector.
We
interviewed a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
He's great. But the point is to look down that ballot and vote for all the Democrats.
Speaking of which, I want to tell you the Democratic candidates that are coming to Cottonwood May 15th. If, Democrats of the Red Rocks isn't the only organization that can get you, these candidates to meet and greet and talk to and talk about. We have David Garcia coming on May 15th to the Red Rooster Cafe in Cottonwood. We have Mark Cardenas. David Garcia is, of course, running for governor. Mark Cardenas is running for state treasurer. Hopefully Kelly Fryer will be there, also running for governor.
We had her on the show.
Yes.
Dynamic.
So we got three Democrats running for governor: David Garcia, the Kelly Fryer, and Steve Farley, the Tucson councilman. Senator. Excuse me.
I'm thinking this year, Democrats have to make some decision whether I'm talking about active Democrats, Mike.
Yeah.
Picking a candidate who may completely agree with them, you know.
Yes.
Or picking a candidate who has an actual chance of winning, because this is a year that Democrats have a chance of winning. I see people wrestling with it. I don't have a big theory about it.
This drives me crazy. A great candidate like Kelly Fryer, a strong speaker, great ideas, a progressive, and yet the first time I mentioned her name to a Democratic power guy here in Arizona, first thing he says, doesn't have a chance. You know, I guess I should know that as a political commentator doing a political radio show.
No, if you look at it coldly, that's true.
But I still have this thing in my heart that wants to believe that Kelly Fryers, anybody who runs for office has a chance, especially somebody with this much talent, with this much to offer.
I think if you put it that way, everybody does have a chance. But, you know, The problem, I think, Mike, is elections are a bit of a cold-hearted game. It is a contest. It's not just a debate about who has the best ideas. It's a contest about getting support for your ideas. And as a contest, you know, I know that people would like to eliminate that aspect of it, you know, because in some ways it's a popularity contest. There is that element to it, and I don't think we can get it out of politics, Mike.
Let's talk a little bit about governor, since we're going to, we got three Democratic candidates for governor, and that's where this conversation was going, that we had, David Garcia. I mean, these great candidates is what I'm sort of getting.
He's an ASU professor. So when you're looking at David Garcia or Steve Farley, two guys who are running for the governor, we're lucky this year in the sense that they're both absolutely excellent candidates. And I'm sure Kelly Fryer is too. They're the two leading candidates. Yeah. And so what are your values? Well, I like Steve Farley, for example, in the primary personally. I like David Garcia too.
Isn't he going to be in town? Steve Farley going to be in town?
Yes, he is. There's a fundraiser for him. Okay. I'm going to be able to go to it.
Yeah, look for him if you want to meet him.
If you want to meet him, he's really, really nice, interesting person. He's got a really great bio. When I look at who would be able to run the state with both Democrats and Republicans, it's Steve Farley seems the strongest one to me. Mm. He seems like a guy who has all his years of experience is running cross-party stuff. So, but is that the right value?
I'm going to say, a great man once said about 3 minutes ago that politics is a cold game. And yeah. David Garcia, did you catch the last name, boys and girls? In a cold game, and his a Latino last name means something.
It's helpful too.
In a state of Arizona.
We usually don't talk about that, but yes.
Yeah, well, we're the only ones that don't talk about it. Everybody else talks about it.
The thing is that David Garcia is this brilliant guy, background. He's a stunning background, educational degrees way beyond Steve Farley. And so what are your values when you have two good candidates or three good candidates?
Yeah.
If you really want a rabble-rousing progressive, then Kelly Fryer is more rabble-rousingly.
Well, she's the CEO of the YWCA in Tucson. I mean, she's not exactly, standing on street corners burning effigies of Doug Ducey, although that would be a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, so there's lots of, in looking at these contests, there's lots of choices for Democrats they're not used to having in the primary. And it's a real kind of debate. And you're going to see if you're a Democrat, your friends are going to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
And there's the Kyrsten Sinema.
That's the hardest one. Let's stop there for a moment, if you don't mind. This is really hard. You've seen, you guys, everybody, if you're listening to the show, you've seen the ads. You can't have been alive and not seen the Kyrsten Sinema ads. They're all over the place. Meaning she has lots and lots of money. We're talking about saturation advertising in May before the election. So she's got lots of money.
She's an extraordinarily talented politician.
That's probably true.
You know, I've done interviews with her. She's, 8 years ago, she was poised and ready to go.
Not hard to turn on the
video camera, and there she was.
That's it. Not hard to look at. She's got the whole family thing going on, doing ads with her brother, doing ads with veterans. I mean, just got it. This could be a juggernaut,
but
as they say.
But for many Democrats, Mike, her voting record is extremely conservative.
It's extremely Donald Trump. That's one thing to be conservative in a time when the conservatives at least had the best interests of the country at heart, which I no longer think is true, which nobody thinks is true. The Republican Party is
like
a criminal organization.
They're not acting like it. If they were acting like it, they would have curbed Donald Trump and crew. I mean, look at the EPA administrator. I mean, how much more stuff could he do wrong and he's still there? I mean, Pruitt, I mean, it's just amazing. The scandal of his background in Oklahoma, all these special deals, all these strange loans he took out.
So who's running against Kyrsten in the primary?
Yeah, let's take a look at that.
Abood.
Yes.
Deidre Abood.
Who's a absolutely great speaker.
And we
she's an exciting candidate.
A Muslim with a Southern accent.
She's a Muslim with a Southern accent.
I mean, you got it. You guys got, you have to meet her. You have to meet her to, and.
You wouldn't believe how good a candidate
strong
she is.
Healthcare from that candidate. Strong. I had a lady come up at the, to my fair booth this weekend and she said, she saw the candidate. We had him over on the side to, in case Terry Goddard's listening. We did an outlaw dirty money booth and we had the candidates to the side. And the, but the, this lady wanted to know who was a strong healthcare candidate, who was a good healthcare candidate. And that made it easy for me.
And also separation of church and state. Any issue you go, she's great. So there's a contest between a super progressive candidate,
yeah,
and a centrist or conservative Democrat in Kyrsten Sinema,
yeah,
who has the money, but she also has the political talent to actually win. So this year's a little different, folks. We're not, a lot of times Democrats are running the most idealistic, good background guy they can get their hands on. Yeah. Here's someone who's really honorable and smart, yeah, and has great qualifications and will run them and they'll lose. This year, the thinking's a little different. Thinking this year is, you know, we might be able to win that Senate seat. So what are we going to do? Who are you going to invest your time and interest in, Mike?
You know, well, that's, I want to say, this is 2018. Donald Trump is president. Let me say that slowly. Donald Trump is president of the United States. I don't know how I can, so that means it's anybody's game is what I'm getting at here. So, Deidre Abood, Muslim with a Southern accent, is running for Senate. No problem. She's got a shot. Kelly Fryer wants to run for governor. No problem. She's got a shot. You know why? Because Donald Trump is stinking president.
Why don't you introduce our caller?
Yes, Tony.
Talking about a dynamic Democrat.
Good morning, Tony Dennis.
Morning. How are you?
Pretty good. We did tell who you are. Tony Dennis is the Yavapai County Democratic Party chairperson. So tell us everything we should know about Yavapai County Democratic politics in, 25 words or less.
The Yavapai County Democratic Party is a entity that oversees the legislative District 1, the Congressional District 4. We are the party seat for people running for local elections, county elections. So we have a big umbrella.
I do think a lot of people do understand that, county is the, any county organization, whether it's the county government or in this case the county party, when they think elections, they think county.
And the local county parties, whether you're Yavapai or Coconino, don't endorse Democratic candidates in the primaries, Tony?
No, we do not. We support all the candidates. We try to help all of them get their signatures for their petitions, and if they're clean elections candidates, collect their $5 donations and have people fill out those forms so they can qualify. And we give them advice. I have had people work with a speech coach to help them with their speaking skills. I have a marketing person who's joined our board who worked for Fortune 500 companies who's giving advice to people. So, no, we don't. We let the chips fall where they may in the primary.
So if I have a candidate that needs one of maybe needs some ideas on the county, on marketing, on where to focus her or his efforts, you guys can help.
Yes. Lindsay Bell, who is the former chair, is our candidate search and support chair, and she works with all of the candidates and gives them advice, and she is our biggest wonk in the party, so she knows all the details and the ins and outs of what they need to do and when they need to do it.
This year you have a lot of primary candidates normally running against Gosar. Let's take the race that in Mike's district and your district. Running against Gosar, there's like one Democrat running. There really isn't much of a primary, or is there, Mike? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's one. This year there's a big one.
This year there's a big one. Yeah, we got at least three that I know of, Tony, right? We got Delina DeSanto, we got David Brill, and we got Ana Maria Perez. Is there more?
There is some. Yes, Democrat, and then I have not heard where he is with that. But as you know, as an independent, you have to get about double the number of signatures on your petition. So I don't have a lot of hope for him. His name is Mark Reek. So we'll see.
I did want to talk about that. It's much more difficult, I think, for candidates. This is wrong. It should be easy to run for office. It should be easy. But they've made it really difficult. We're talking in CD4, you gotta get somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500 signatures just to get on the ballot. And it's determined by the number of people who voted in the last election.
Why? What's the argument, Tony, for forcing independents to get more signatures than Democrats or Republicans for the same office? And what's your opinion on that?
Well, I wasn't around when that was decided here in Arizona. I know it's different in other states, and I've lived in New York and Texas and Illinois, and I don't recall it being like that, but I could be wrong. I think that the argument is that people who are running under a party banner are already vetted to some degree, and they're legitimate candidates, and they have a structure behind them, and somebody running as an independent has a real uphill battle, and I know that to be true because I've talked and worked with a few independents who I thought represented Democratic values, and we didn't have a Democrat running. So, but yeah, no matter whether they have money behind them or not, people tend to vote party lines here.
When we talk more signatures, we're talking thousands more. I think it's something like 36,000 signatures if you're an independent. And there's
For a statewide office.
For statewide office, yes, sir.
And I like the sir there, Mike. Well, really nice of you.
It just seems wrong to make it so hard. Maybe it sounds simple, but to anybody, say, okay, well, you got to go out and find. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, they have recently started. You can sign these petitions online for these candidates. Silence. So I believe that the Secretary of State's website, you can sign an online petition, but still, who's ever running, let's take these three people that are running hoping to run against Paul Gosar, and for CD4, you gotta know their name, you gotta find them on the Secretary of State's website, and then you're able to sign their petition. So the fact that they need 1,400 signatures, is still extremely difficult.
And for the voters, Mike, I mean, the primary voters, right, Tony, you're going to see three names. The primary ends, I guess, August 28th, something like that. So you really have to know who the people are if you want to make a selection, which means you have to pay it.
Maybe that was the intent of this. I'm not usually one to give the Arizona Republican legislature any credit, but if there is an upside to this, besides making it difficult, well, what this does, it protects incumbents. You know, they don't have to go out and get signatures.
Well, it protects parties. In other words, if you're the nominee of a political party, you have shown you have support of quite a few people.
That's right.
There's two major political parties. There are two minor political parties. It shows you have support. And if you're an independent, you don't have to prove anything. You just have to collect signatures. We got our guest back on the phone. Tony, are you there?
Okay.
Right. It's radio, folks.
That's right. We want to mention, and Tony and I were going to talk about this after the show. We have a really great emerging Democratic group. I want to say this on Democratic perspective. We have a great Democratic group emerging in Cottonwood. Nobody's more surprised than I am to see these 50, 60 or more people coming to these monthly things. We have a few candidates. They show up. I started to tell you the candidates that were going to be there May 15th. It's fascinating to see these couples come in, these single people come in, to see these folks coming to these Democratic gatherings because they need hope.
Democrats of the Red Rocks here in Sedona has a breakfast coming up May 17th. And what is going to be candidates, it says, I guess it's not finalized who's going to be
right.
speaking, but there'll be a number of candidates. These things are really interesting,
they
folks, because
really
you hear all these different perspectives. You get the thing about going to these, being more active, you actually hear the candidates talk at some length at these things, except when Mike's running a program and they're allowed 5 minutes.
Exactly. Well, what it makes them do, they tell their story and they tell it succinctly. Maybe they've all gone to Tony Dennis's school up there in Prescott, or Lindsey Bell's school, I suppose I should say, for the Yavapai Democratic Party, and how to speak, because they are telling fascinating stories about themselves, about running, about why they're running, and it's kind of thing that you don't hear, certainly in national politics, and you don't hear much. Maybe on the late night.
You can also walk right up and talk to them, Mike.
You can walk right up.
These are very, very accessible. So let me announce a couple of events.
Sure.
Door breakfast is May 17th. Old Sedona Bar and Grill. Great breakfast, speakers, raffles. It's fun. Even more fun, I think, is the Door Summer Picnic.
Oh,
very
yes.
early this year, June 3rd, it's at Big Park Community School campus, and there'll be all kinds of candidates. So if you haven't heard the candidates in person up till now, the Door Summer Picnic, June 3rd, Big Park Community School, and you can look on the Door website, Democrats of Red Rocks website. And you'll have almost all the candidates for all the offices there.
Yeah, I want to draw a line under this because this picnic has always been in the fall. It's always been around October 1st. It started as just a reward for all the local workers and people that were party folks in Cottonwood and Sedona and Camp Verde. And then it evolved because the candidates started showing up. It sort of evolved into a political event, and it became a darn good one. The candidates like coming to this thing. They show up with their A material, and it's a chance to meet a lot of folks that are running for office in one spot.
I think if you haven't been involved in politics, what Mike is saying is completely true. Is completely true. There's something wonderful about being able to go up and talk to the candidates for office. I mean, it's kind of a rush. You get to, this guy's running for governor and you can get to go and talk to him.
And it's true for both of them, by the way, but the candidates love it too. They like the informality, so it's a cool thing. Tony Dennis is now with us in the
yeah.
studio.
Yeah, in the flesh. Welcome, Tony.
It's not just
before
a
you were phoning.
Distant voice on the phone. She is actually here.
Tell us more about the Yavapai Democratic Party, which I think you've helped kind of revive and energize.
Well, I think Trump did that more than anything. But
amen.
I'm trying to bring together people and maximize their talents. And get people excited about what is coming, because we know it's coming. Things are shifting in Yavapai County. The number of Democrats is going up. I don't know if you're aware, but there's a lot of construction going on, new subdivisions being built. There's a plan to build all around the airport there. And it's bringing in people.
We're talking Prescott now.
Yeah, Prescott.
Yeah,
and Prescott Valley.
Prescott Valley. Yeah, the population increase is almost exponential. It's certainly for those of us that have lived here for the last 50 years, what's happening where Tony lives is pretty amazing. And you're saying those people coming in are of a different mix than...
They are, and even if they're Republican, they're probably a lot more left-leaning Republican than the people who have grown up in the area and are steeped in that.
One of the things that's happened under Tony's watch is our Cottonwood group, as I've already mentioned, And
several times. No, well, don't talk about it, Mike. Well, it's important.
Because you haven't finished. You haven't let me finish. Paul,
I never do that.
We want to do some homage, and it's good to do this in a funny way because Paul Schwartz was this kind of guy. Paul Schwartz was sort of the in-between between myself and the county party. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have what I think is just fascinating, a phenomenon happening in Cottonwood and that part of the Verde Valley. We're calling it, by the way, the Yavapai County Democrats Cottonwood. We're not getting too fancy here. We are a part of the Yavapai County party. So it's not like Door. It is like Door in a way, but it is we're using the county name, and it's just become, like I said, this phenomenon with all of these people showing up. We fill the room every week. We have different folks. I'm getting phone calls. As Tony said, it's our best recruiter is Donald Trump and his policies and the people that he tends to appoint. To the various cabinet. I mean, it's one atrocity after atrocity after atrocity. And it just means every time Trump opens his mouth, 10 more people show up in my Cottonwood Democratic meeting.
So let's ask Tony, and I like to shout out to Paul Schwartz, who is a great guy. And,
we miss him.
Yeah. I think we all miss him. He was a kind of character and had a kind of different background than anybody else out here. From New York, he was what they call a red diaper baby, and that his parents were very left wing. So he didn't start out a right winger and end up as a left winger. He started out with that background. He spent his life in publishing, and
I heard that Bernie Sanders was a classmate.
Really?
They were both from Brooklyn. Yeah.
He was from Brooklyn. He was a great voice and great character. He's really, really, what can I say? He's going to be missed. Yeah.
He pushed this organization. So and he was, like I said, if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't be happening.
He tried to connect the Yavapai Party, which is sort of centered on the other side of the Black Hills, the mountains, and connected up with the Verde Valley. That was one of his big campaigns, right, Tony?
Right. He helped us bridge the gap across the mountain. And actually, that's our logo, which he designed, his Mingus Mountain and the Arizona State flag.
He designed our business cards for Democratic Perspective, for example.
Wow.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, he was a talented artist
now,
on top of everything else.
You got Trump and that crazy, weird, bizarre cabinet of his. How does this actually affect your local politics? Because you're supporting people run for what? A lot of people are fairly small offices, state senator, state representatives. How does all that play out for you on a very local level?
Well, I don't know that it impacts us locally so much other than, as individuals. But what it does is it makes people aware that the Republican Party has just gone off a cliff. There is no focus on reality, on honesty, on integrity, and it's permeating their entire party. So that makes people turn away from the Republican Party, and I know independents are shifting too.
How about this bait and switch with Social Security and Medicare? Pass the tax cut, and they really believe they're going to pull this off. I'm going to ask Tony Dennis, chair of the county party, Yavapai County Party, are they going to pull this off? Are they going to be able to fool people and say we're going to give this massive tax cut to 82% of the richest Americans, and then we're going to cut Social Security and Medicare? Are they going to pull this off?
Well, Mike, you can fool some of the people all the time, which is clearly obvious with Trump and his supporters, but no, the vast majority of people will not get behind this, and they will fight this,
and
they will vote against this. They'll vote for candidates who represent their values. And I think we have some terrific candidates who are speaking out about this already, including Kyrsten Sinema, including David Brill. You've mentioned some of them.
Mm.
And these are key platforms for them, and health care, of course. And health care is a big issue here. I spoke with Kyrsten Sinema recently. She had a she swung through Prescott. She visited the VA
hospital. What's
recently,
by the way? Just
last week.
Okay, that's recent.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
A week ago today, as
great.
A matter of fact.
Got it.
And she said that people are very worried about their health care. They're paying
Should be.
High premiums for insurance. They've gone up this year because of what happened in Congress, how they're undercutting the Affordable Care Act. And that is a key issue for a lot of people, regardless of party.
This process of trying to destroy Obamacare has caused people's premiums to go way up and probably will next year.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing of undercutting it, systematically, not able to defeat it straight on, straight up, but undercutting the program has really forcing a lot of people into, I was recently down in Mexico, and there are 100,000 people, Americans in Yuma, going over into Mexico for dental work and doctors. There are 400 doctors and dentists
right.
in this little
in
tiny town,
Alcadones,
and it's
yeah.
absolutely filled with Americans because they can't afford health care. They can't get their dental work done within reasonable prices in the U.S. And so you have this whole city that's based on providing health care to Americans because they can't afford health care in this country. I mean, it's bizarre.
And I have to admit, I know the stories of, but I certainly the stories of the last several years have been pretty good. I mean, people have certainly they're happy with what they're getting.
Yeah, and I mean, the point is, wow. I mean, our healthcare system is so bad that people are buying their meds from Canada. Yeah. They're going to Mexico for operations and getting their teeth fixed. I mean, that's a bad sign,
yeah.
you know?
And she thinks that there's going to be a political price to pay for Republicans this fall. Because of that, people are aware that they're not advocating for the common people at all.
Well, let's talk
they're
about
protecting
that.
Big pharma, and they're protecting the big insurance companies, and
so
they've
least,
left us swinging in the wind.
So at least we have Kyrsten Sinema running for Jeff Flake's seat for the U.S. Senate. At least we have her on health care. But certainly, I'm not sure we can mention Kyrsten Sinema without, did you talk to her when you saw her about her less than Democratic votes that, you know.
She's gotten a lot of criticism, and I know about the ranking that she's gotten, that she's voted with, quote, Trump 57% of the time. But Kyrsten is an independent Democrat, is how she categorizes herself. She votes according to the political algebra, what is going to work for her, and so that she can actually get things done. She's in a caucus that is made up, it's bipartisan, and it's very, I guess, not younger, but it's definitely the more progressive Republicans who are in it. And they want to solve problems. They called themselves the Pragmatic Caucus.
Wow.
So,
Tom O'Halloran's a member of it too, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
so
right.
What it is, folks, is Republicans, moderate Republicans, moderate Democrats meet together to discuss issues and stuff and votes.
To actually get something done, yeah. That, and Tom's assessment of it, it was about 20 or so people in the House that said, boy, you know, you got the Freedom Caucus on this side, we got lots and lots of extremes here. We came here to get something done, and it's nice to know Kyrsten is part of that. I have to admit, as a knowledgeable host of Democratic perspective, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, and they had a proposal to fix health care, or at least make changes to make it work better until we can get a permanent fix.
Yeah.
And they were shot down. They didn't even get a chance to get any of their stuff on the floor.
Tell us a little bit about things look good in the Yavapai Democratic Party for the Democrats that you're supporting. Do you have advice to Democrats about how to pick people in the primaries? I think Mike and I worry that you know, we have a door breakfast, we have a door picnic, and we have the things that Mike do. Those, the people who come to those see the candidates physically, they hear them talk, they can make a decision. But do you have advice for Democrats, for example, in the Democratic primary, how to pick which candidate? What's the values?
Well, I think that you have to get to know the candidates to really understand who they are and what they represent. But you can ask them, certainly. You can look at their websites. You can ask them how they stand on certain issues. My feeling is that it has to be a candidate, too, who you think can represent you and be there fighting for you. And some candidates, I think, have a lot more ability to express themselves and to carry an issue forward than others. And, you know, a lot of them are the same on the issues, but personality and intelligence and being, what's the word?
Presence, you know, and then all of those things.
That gravitas. And being able to express themselves.
You know, I just to say more about that, even though I shouldn't, that's never stopped me. You know, the those candidates.
Never.
That are.
Never.
Well, you know, it's kind of a shame that the Fred Duvals, and for that matter, the Terry Goddards, these quiet public servants that are just so competent and people that you want in office, these are the kinds of people you want. Because I think a little bit of what Tony's saying in 2018, because they don't have a more showmanship, and certainly, obviously, the presidential, it matters, and boy, I wish it didn't matter so much. But it does, doesn't it?
No, I don't think an Adlai Stevenson would do very well these
days.
There
you go.
You have to have the whole package.
The whole package.
You have to be somebody who people can look at and listen to and feel confident about.
So, Tony, what is the Democratic Party? We've only got 3 minutes left. What do you do in Yavapai to encourage candidates to run? How do you... Because this is a mysterious aspect that I think people don't understand, is that the Democratic Party looks for candidates, Republican Party recruits candidates. And how do you do that? I mean, what's involved?
Well, in the past, it was more like begging.
please run.
But yeah. Now, you know, so many people want to run. I really try to encourage the ones who I think have a shot and
fire in their belly,
yes,
for actually running, huh?
And discourage the ones who don't, since they don't always listen to me.
That's true.
Women, you had mentioned before, we send to at least the Democratic women of the Prescott area have scholarships to send them to the Emerge Arizona training program for candidates, and that's how we've gotten a couple of our candidates.
So you can actually help candidates by training
yes,
them how to be candidates.
Absolutely.
You can support sending them to a training group.
Right, and women especially need that kind of support because they, as the statistics went, they have to be asked 7 times to run before they say yes, whereas men, it's once.
so there is
so
a mechanism.
Asking them all 7 times. Yeah. We have a lot of great women running for office.
We certainly do. It really is very exciting.
The involvement of women in politics has just skyrocketed, it seems to me.
Well, it's partially something that's been in the works for years and partially just the fact that women are fed up. You know, they want to solve problems.
Well, I think that's true. With Tony talking about that, there's an actual mechanism, even, you know, from Prescott, you have the Democratic women of Prescott area, you got Emerge Arizona. So there is a conduit for, and it has, you know, produced over the years candidates, and then this year it's producing maybe a few more than we used to in the past.
We do want to thank our sponsors and supporters, Democrats of the Red Rocks, some of the Yavapai Party has it too, and all the individual contributors to the show.
Yes, we got Democratic Perspective. We got, and don't forget, folks, we have our shows on our on our website. Democratic Perspective. We have podcasts at vvid.org. This show eventually will be up there. We have 7 years of shows, which sort of either outline our brilliance or our lack thereof. So please go to vvid.org and catch all our previous shows. Now they're getting real good. You can also catch a lot of candidates' speeches, vvid.org, to hear candidates. Thanks, folks.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.